All right.
Sincere, humble person. Yeah.
God exalts humility. He resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And I tell you what, buddy, that's one I do work on. I want to stay humble. I don't want God to have to humble me.
No, and, I don't either.
I have been under the hand of chastisement before, and it wasn't a good place to be. It wasn't pleasant at the time, neither. And I learned a lot from it. And I learned, buddy, stay humble. All right, we finished up Proverbs chapter 7 last week in a tremendous chapter. And we finished up the latter part of Proverbs chapter 6. And we finished up Proverbs chapter 7. And we'll be starting this October the 20th?
Yeah.
October the 20th, Sunday morning, we'll be starting Proverbs chapter 8. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised how much... how much attention was put to the teaching on the website. I printed it out. I forgot to bring it. All the different countries that go to our teaching and our preaching on the website. It's amazing how many countries visit our website. I had that printed out. And somehow or another, in the morning's events, I forgot it. But I will bring it. And it's a bunch of them. I mean, they're communist countries and everything else. But they want light. And God said the entrance of His Word gives light. And of course, in America, we take a lot of things for granted.
Yes, we do.
And even though they're pushing socialism and communism, once they do lose their freedom and their liberty, they'll be the awfulest crime party that ever has been. And they'll be blaming everybody. How'd this happen? Who's at fault here? And it'd be their own fault. But I thank God for the Word of God and for the light of the Word of God. It's a lamp unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. God said, I'll hide it in my heart, or the psalmist said, I'll hide it in my heart that I might not sin against God. We'll be starting Proverbs chapter 8. Father, we thank You for the inspired, infallible, incorruptible Word of God. Lord, we pray right now for the Holy Spirit's help, for the Holy Spirit's unction, and Lord, for You to open our eyes and our understanding, that we may behold wondrous things here, Father God, this morning. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. This chapter, I've looked over it a little bit. The title of it is In Praise of Wisdom. If you've got a Scofield Study Bible, right over top of verse 1, it talks about In Praise of Wisdom. Now, Solomon, not only did he ask God for wisdom, but he wrote the book of Proverbs, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, and he wrote Song of Solomon. And here he's putting a lot of emphasis on wisdom. And he says, Doeth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? And let me go a little further here. She standeth in the top of high places. By the way, in the places of the past, she crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And there in four verses there, wisdom calls out. And nowadays we got caller ID, and sometimes we don't answer the phone. But lots of time wisdom gets ignored. It gets neglected. I grew up void of understanding. I shunned, for some reason, I don't even really know why, but I shunned any effort to learn certain things. And the Bible was one of those things. I don't know, I thought this might not be fair, but I thought, you know, that it would be foolish to spend any time in the Bible. And now I realize how important it is to spend time in the Bible. And wished I'd paid more attention to it as I grew up. But how true in the generation today that a fair word would be that they're disconnected. They'll plug in headphones. Yeah. They'll put ear, they call them earbuds or something like that. They'll put them in.
Yeah.
But they don't want to give any place to the Word of God.
No.
Now, this wisdom that God offers, we need. But not just this wisdom do we need. But my wife, she's a real good cook. My youngest granddaughter, she's 16 now. And I'm sitting there thinking, if I was you, young lady, I'd be over there watching this lady cook.
Yeah.
Because not only can she cook, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. That's going to go to the grave if somebody don't learn some of those techniques or some of those skills. How she's able to, and my wife, she don't measure nothing. She just throws it together and samples it. If it needs a little something, she adds it. But the younger generation, they Google it, and you know, if it ain't on the internet, they don't know what to do. But that wisdom, it goes to the grave. That wisdom, Solomon here, it says it cries. And it says it puts forth its voice, there in verse 1. And it stands at the top of places. And it's in the way, in the places of the gates, wondering why in the world nobody wants to come in.
Yeah.
And get any wisdom. It cries at the gates and at the entering of the city and the coming in the doors. And it cries unto you, oh man, it's a personal cry. It says, I call. Wisdom calls, and my voice is to the sons of men. Boy, this is a good topic for old Brother Eddie. I was down with a box of rocks all my life. If it would be a true statement, I could boldly say I learned everything the hard way.
Yeah.
I never listened. I never paid no attention. And I put emphasis on things that didn't matter to nothing. And the things that I really should have been paying attention to, I just kind of ignored. And, this is a good chapter right here of rebuke to me. Here I am now teaching from the Word of God. And, I had to learn everything, not only the hard way, but I'm glad God allowed me the opportunity to learn. And after I realized that God was the teacher, and I realized, that He was teaching me, He got me to a place where I learned some things from the Word of God, but He got me to a place where I could teach others. And you know what? One person could teach another probably better than me. But I'll tell you one thing. What I've learned, I know where I learned them from. Amen?
Yeah, right.
I'd like to say that one more time. Paul told Timothy, he said, of whom you've learned them. I believe as talking about his grandmother Lois and his mother. And he said here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he said, what I call remembrance, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, yes, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, someone passed that torch down.
That's right.
Now this young boy, he's got that faith that was handed down, and I thank the Lord for bringing that to my remembrance. But, God, Psalms 127 verse 1 says, except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain. Let me fill in a blank here real quick. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing. But I was looking for shortcuts. Some way, I could maybe get ahead of the pack, find some way, an easy way, whatever. No. God's way, it's not like man's way.
That's right.
And He does say, run the race with patience. In due time, I have need of patience. Oh my, patience was one thing that I really struggled with. My name's Eddie. I was always in a hurry. One thing about that name, it just kind of speaks, just fast Eddie. I was always too fast in everything to learn anything. But I learned that if I would just slow down, let God be God, that I can learn, and we do have to learn. Jesus said, continue my word, that you may know the truth, in John 8:31, 32. And if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth. And we do need to know the truth,
right,
and the truth will make us free. Well, we need to learn some things. And the wisdom is crying out, And he says, hey, I got some things you need to learn. And he says, verse 5, oh, ye simple. And that's what it was. I was just a simple-minded fool. Understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. And like I said, God has to help us.
Yes, he does.
And he will. Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, I believe it's in the book of James, let him ask God.
That's right.
And you know, God, he's no respecter of person. So if you did say, Lord, give me some wisdom. In James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When I first got saved, I'll pull back the curtain a little bit. I tried to read my Bible, and I know I was a babe in Christ, but I did have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit, it will only bear witness with truth. And you know, my wife, she's trying to help me. Here I am, I'm wanting to read the Bible, and I have to admit, I couldn't comprehend it. And I started out reading the Living Bible, and it was dead, it wasn't alive. And then she got me, you know, maybe a New International American Standard or something. But anyway, I went down that path, and you know what? I have to admit, you know, I brought this little light switch over here. I have to admit, and I'll use it for illustration, the light didn't come on. Well, a guy at work, Mike Gibson, and he's a great man of the Word of God, a great man of God. But he said, what you reading there? And I said, I'm reading the Bible. And he picked it up, and he said, that ain't no Bible, son. He said, get you a King James Bible. And, you know, I did. I went immediately and got me a King James Bible. Mm-hmm. And for lack of better words, the light came on.
Right.
And when the light came on, the Holy Spirit bearing witness with truth, immediately I started learning, I started growing, and you know, the right way, like Sister Bonnie said, we want to grow the right way.
That's right.
And that is the way I want to grow. Yeah. But you know, I was a fool, I didn't know which Bible. I was simple, I didn't have any knowledge at all of anything. I had need of one teach me, and God's the only one that can teach anybody anything.
Right.
But he said, hear, verse 6, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. You know, if you're going to learn anything, learn right. Wouldn't it be something to learn something, find out later on you learn something wrong, and it wasn't right, and you had to relearn it. That's one thing I found out about witnessing. And I do a lot of witnessing. The Bible said a true witness delivers souls. And Jesus said we are his witnesses. We ought to be ready to give a man an answer that asks us a question of the reason hope is within us. But I've witnessed to a lot of different cults. I've witnessed to a lot of different mindsets. I've witnessed to atheists. I've witnessed to Satanists. I've witnessed to you name it, every race, every nationality, every kind of excuse. I've witnessed to them. And we need to be witnesses. And we need to be witnessing. And anyway, what I want to say about all that witnessing is, morning, Sister Sharon.
Morning.
Praise the Lord. That witnessing is, you know, you can't witness to someone until you know yourself that you're saved.
That's right.
The Bible talks about know ye yourselves that Christ dwelt in you.
Right.
Examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself,
yeah.
Except to be reprobate. So you can't really effectively witness to someone until you're genuine, I mean, born again, and you know you're saved, because if not, you're going to be tossed to and fro by everyone in doctrine.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know up from down. My pastor talked one time about going. He said he had such a burden to go witness somebody. He said he just took off, and he said he went to this house, and there was this older guy in this house, and he said, I was a witness of him. He said, I got some mixed up. He said, I made such a mess. He said, I wasn't even sure I was saved. I got down the floor and said, Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, that man fell down and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I wish you'd save me here right now. And he got saved. And you know what? Sometimes God, he compensates a lot of the time. I say somehow, most of the time he does compensate. But here it says in verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Look in Proverbs 22. I love the Word of God. Look at verse 20. Now, even though Solomon penned this, the Bible said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this is inspired. And it says, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Look at verse 21. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sin unto thee. You need to be an effective witness. You need to be a true witness, and you need to be able to tell somebody how to be saved. We never know. Like we could leave today and come up on a wreck. I seen a wreck going home prayer meeting last night, and I noticed the helicopter flying over. I don't know any details about the wreck, but very possibly someone could have been staff flighted. I don't know. But a few of us to come up on a wreck, and there was someone in there, and they were lost. And they said, help me, I'm dying lost. I don't want to go to hell. I need somebody to tell me how to be saved. If you wasn't a true witness, if you wasn't able to witness to that person, they'd die in their sins, and they'd miss heaven, and you'd have their blood on your hands. I believe it's Ezekiel chapter 3 that says, if you don't warn the wicked of their sins, God said, I'll require their blood at your hands. But if you warn them of their sins, God said, you'll be free from their blood. And that's kind of what God confronted Cain about. He said, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. But God has excellent things for us to not only ponder, but to get to know. And God's Word, it has a ring of truth to it. And that ring of truth is that Holy Spirit bear witness to it. And it don't ring of truth, nothing but the Word of God. Like I said, that's one thing I noticed when I got the right Bible. I started bearing root downward and bearing fruit upward. Verse 7, for my mouth shall speak truth. And one thing, I remember I was teaching Sunday school, and I was teaching 10-year-old children, and I asked them, I said, can anybody tell me one thing God can't do? And I have to admit, I got them pretty good. Nobody could answer that. And they come up with a lot of things. And I said, no, there's only one thing that it's impossible for God to do. And I said, it's impossible for God to lie. Right. And I said, boy, that's a big plus. That means every word of God Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Mm-hmm. Every word of God is truth. You know, in this day and time we're living in, they're conning people right and left. Oh, yeah. They're deceiving people right and left. Man, these politicians, they're speaking out both sides of their mouth. Yeah. Man, that Elizabeth Warren, they done called her about five lies. And I'm sitting there thinking, and Joe Biden, he'd be better off not to say anything. I ain't got no axe to grind here, but we better pay attention, because we're going to cast a vote. Melvin Sisson, I heard him preach on the radio. And as he's preaching on the radio, he said, he's got one of them Noah Webster dictionaries back in like 1800s. And he said, I looked up in that dictionary the word vote. And he said the definition of that word vote was man's duty to God. Mm-hmm. You see, we need to be careful. Mm-hmm. I would hate to vote for someone and find out later on that I hadn't done my homework and didn't have my conscience defiled because I should have. You see right. what I mean? Right. I like to have a conscience void of offense. Yes. There's a few I could boldly say I'm glad I didn't vote for. That's right. And there's been a few that I have no regret for voting for. They might not have turned out like I want them to, but I had no second thoughts for voting for them. But we really need to be careful in this country of freedom and liberty, and I do believe this is the country that God's put His blessing on, and all the missionaries proceed from America, and you know, there's just so much God has done through America. I have no doubt in my mind at all that God raised it up to fulfill His prophecy that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness. And you know, it's carried from America to China.
Yes.
It's carried from America to Hong Kong, to Japan, to Russia. All those places that are God haters. I'm telling you that the word come from America to there.
That's right.
And I believe that was the Lord's doing.
Amen.
But He says, for my mouth shall speak truth. I don't want to be lied to. I have been. I remember my kids, they lied to me, and I believed them.
Yeah.
I asked them, I said, please don't lie to me. Tell me the truth. I'm telling the truth, Daddy. And then find out later on that they wasn't. And it broke my heart. I said, I trusted you. I'm sorry, Daddy. I was afraid. I said, look, I just wanted you to tell me the truth.
That's right.
I'd rather have the truth. You know, we struggle, I guess. The Bible says that we come out of the womb speaking lies. We struggle to tell the truth. But the Bible says, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, and speak truth with every man. But we struggle with truth. God doesn't, but we do. And anyway, He says, my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. The Bible said that God is of pure eyes than to look upon sin. Mm-hmm. Now, men are just the opposite. The Bible says in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light lest their deeds be reproved. But, you know, man has no problem at all with wickedness. As a matter of fact, they're really promoting wickedness right now in this country. And it's taking its toll on the churches. They took a poll. I heard this on the radio this week. They took a poll of how many people were Christians in America back, I believe it was in the 50s or something like that, something like 92%. And today they took a poll and it's something like 30 or less percent. Now, I do know the Bible said there's going to be a great falling away before the day of the Lord comes. I know the Bible said the love of many is going to wax cold. I know the Bible says that many are going to turn and walk away and go back, you know, to the world and up on that pile of castaways and all that stuff. But I tell you what, I don't want to be one of them.
No, that's right.
Nope.
But wickedness is an abomination to God. And there's a lot of wickedness mentioned in this Bible. And man has changed the names of a lot of this wickedness. And somehow I don't know, it seems like it makes it more acceptable if you can get the right name to go along with it. You know what I mean? God calls it what it is right here in the Bible, and He don't sugarcoat it. And they somehow, you know, they change the name of it a little bit, and somehow now it's accepted. The next thing I know, we're selling alcohol, and not going to be very long, they're going to be selling marijuana. I just tell it just plain as it is. A little 11/11th a lump, we'd be better off to abstain from those things rather than advance those things. And I'll tell you, a lot of people have had graveside experiences regretting allowing that to come in their community. It's bitter at the end. The Bible talks about sin at the last. It stings like an adder. And it's got a bitter end. But God, you know, He tries to promote the right way, and God is the right way, and He gives man a choice, and men make a lot of bad choices, but God here, He says, I'll speak the truth to you. And He said, wickedness is an abomination to my lips. You don't have to worry about having to second guess anything God says. I like that. Verse 8, He said, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. I just heard this week, they had to pass some kind of law to use the right pronoun to address assemblies now because they didn't want to offend anyone that had gender issues. And I forgot the word they used. It was stupid. And you know, God's not the author of confusion, but it's so confusing, so stupid. It was something like all of you or all of them that had to use the right pronoun to keep from offending. How about offending God? I know we're putting forth the embers. We want to try to be tolerant. We want to try to make sure we don't offend here, offend there. Try to be as diverse as we can be. Well, I'll tell you right now, how about offending God? He can't be offended. I'll tell you that right now. Israel did, and it brought the wrath of God down on them. But he said, the words of my mouth are in righteousness. God always speaks right. He said, there's nothing forward or perverse in them. God, I know they seek to pervert the right things of God. But if you look over here in 1 John, this is some of my favorite scripture in the Bible. You might say this is a little bit racist, but in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, he says, then this is the message we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, like I said, that may sound a little racist to some people. You can make it whatever you want. But there ain't no 50 shades of gray with God.
That's right.
I know we take something and we try to draw it in a direction we want it to go in. And where it falls, that's where it ends up at. But God doesn't. He doesn't change. He's light. He always will be light. He'll never be nothing but light. Look down at verse 6. And if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and a lot of people do, they use God for a pretense, for somehow to make an excuse for some of the things. They say, well, you know, we read there in the Bible there, and you know, that's why. But it says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Boy, it's pretty plain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He's in the light, and that's the only way you can walk with God.
Right.
We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, that's not optional. If you want to have fellowship with God, you're going to have to walk in the light. He's in the light.
Right.
Does anybody know how to do that? Put you on the spot. How you walk in the light?
Stay just as close to God as you can.
That's good, Karen.
That's right.
You're right.
Right.
Yeah. See, His Word, the evidence of His Word gives light.
Yeah.
His Word is light in our path, lamp to our feet.
Right.
And God's all about light. His Word's all about light. That light that God offers is the Word of God.
Yes.
And when we read Bonnie Hilder Bible, when we read that Bible, not only are we walking in the light, but we're having fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard one Indian, he got saved. Of course, Geronimo got saved, but I don't know necessarily this was Geronimo. But he said, when I read my Bible, he said, God talking with me. And he said, when I pray, I talk to God. And he said, we walk and talk. And he said, I stop and read, and He speak to me. And how true that is. But God here, He says, where was I at here? The words of my mouth are in righteousness. You know, God's Word is right.
Yeah.
It's gum barrel, straight right. There's nothing forward nor perverse in the Word of God.
Right.
Let me, when it says perverse in the Word of God, let me use this for an example right here. When I said there's nothing perverse in the Word of God, let me call this right here with that in mind. Genesis chapter 2. And Eve, a type of the church as a bride. I'm just going to read the last three verses here. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Verse 25 is what I was talking about. I didn't want to just read this one verse. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. See, there's nothing perverted about that. And God here, His words, they're right. There's nothing perverse about the Word of God. Verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just can't understand it? Now, I just read there out of the book of James, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And I didn't finish all of that. When I did finally get on the King James Bible, even though the light came on, I still wasn't really understanding where I was reading the degree that I really needed to understand it, and I knelt down there and I prayed, and I said this, Sharon, I said, Lord, this is your word. Lord, I'm your son. I said, Lord, open your words to me. Make your words known to me that I might have them for my sake and for the sake of others that I meet in life. And you know what? God honored and answered that prayer. Everybody kept telling me, you've been called to preach. You've been called to preach. Well, 4 years later, God did call me to preach. But you know what? I have to admit, God began to work in me. And it was Him doing it. It wasn't me. It was Him that was opening His words to me. It was Him that was making His words known to me. And I was holding on to Him as dear could be. And He said, they are plain to him that understandeth. This stuff started making sense. Somebody come ask me a question, and I mean the light would come on. And you know, we had a lot of conversation out there at Donnelly's, out there at work. I went in there in the break room. I come in there and plop my Bible on the table there in the break room, and there's a lot of grunting and people clearing their throat, and some of them got up and left, and some of them stayed. There wasn't no time to look, and there was another Bible in there. Plop! And it wasn't too long, I seen about five or six Bibles on the table, and I said, yeah. Praise the Lord! But it all started with one. And that's kind of the way churches start. You just get one that loves the Lord, wants to do something for God, and serious about it. And kind of like Isaiah chapter 6, God asked the question, who'll go for me? And Isaiah just said, here am I, send me. And God said, go. And that's kind of the way it is. Yeah. And He turned His head and said, how long shall I go? Not like a good Baptist. Just wanted to go so far and stop. God said, till the land be utterly desolate, and the city be without inhabitant, and be wasted. So we need to keep going for God. But God's looking for somebody to go. But when He does find somebody to go, here's what He says. They are talking about the Word of God. They are all plain, verse 9, to him that understandeth. Now the natural man, he can't receive the things of God. And I was a natural man for 34 years. And I have to admit, buddy, it was Greek and Hebrew to me for 34 years.
Brother Eddie, you know what the beginning of wisdom is?
The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
That's exactly right. And you know, that's the problem today. This is why that some people can't get wisdom.
Right.
They only want God when they need God.
That's true, Billy.
They don't want to put Him in their hearts and keep Him in there and study His Word. They just want Him when they need Him. And that's the reason that they don't have the wisdom that they need.
With regard to what Brother Ed said right there, most people know of God, but they don't know God.
That's right.
In the book of Titus, it talks about many profess to know God, but in works, they deny Him. And they just got what a lot of people call just lip service. In Titus chapter 1, verse 16, says they profess they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and in every good work reprobate. But the reason I mentioned about that natural man, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But you look on over there, but he that's spiritual. And you know, when you become saved, you become a spiritual being. God gives you of His Spirit, and His Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you are a child of God. And I thank God for that witness of the Spirit. But it says, not only are the Word of God plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find them, but God can use them. They're usable, I guess you could say. God's always looked for someone that He can use. And you got to start with God and then start feeding on the Word of God. And then when you get to that point where God can use you, I promise you this, God will use you. And I found myself doing more than reading. I found myself doing more than heeding. I found myself sharing little nuggets that I'd read. I said, hey, look here what I read. Other people sharing me. Hey, look here what I found. It's kind of like, you know, digging in a gold mine. You never know how much gold you got in the mine until you dig around a little bit. I remember my pastor telling me about a guy that brought a silver mine just for a joke. He bought this silver mine, and nobody ever found any silver in there. He said, well, he said, since I bought this silver mine, he said, I guess I ought to dig a little bit. And they said something like 2 feet from where the others had stopped, he hit the biggest silver vein that's ever been found, and you never know what you got till you dig around a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
And we do need to dig around a little bit and learn a little bit. We've got much to do with this word. I witnessed to a young lady yesterday at Houchins grocery store, and I was sharing her, you know why I tell y'all about the Word of God being health to our flesh. And I said, never thought about reading the Bible being healthy, did you? She's a young girl. She said, no. I said, I'm 65 years old. I said, I'm pretty healthy. I said, I attribute every bit of that to the Word of God and the mercy and grace of God. But I was trying to whet her appetite, spend some time in the Word of God. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be ambassadors for Christ.
Brother Wade,
yeah.
When you were speaking of talking about, you know, your witness to people,
yeah.
Jeff, our son, he said, I'm going to witness to people.
Yeah.
And he said, and if they don't like it, they can just fire me. Because he said, I'm going to tell them all about God, you know.
Well, we do need to be discreet. The Bible
right.
tells us to be
right.
wise as serpents,
right.
harmless as dove. Now, I kind of got a reproach off of what you just mentioned right there. At work, working in the factory at Donnelly's, y'all know Brother Bobby comes by here. His son worked with me, Chuck Marty.
Yeah.
And Chuck come up to me and just nonchalant. I mean, you know, we talked about the Bible every day in fellowship, just enjoyed a good brotherly. Let brother love continue. Hebrews 13:1 said, we just enjoyed the good brotherly love and the fellowship. And Chuck come up to me and I should say this coming. It shows quite a bit about how childish, I guess, or immature I was. But Chuck came up to me and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, what do you think this verse means right here? And that verse he shared with me, he said, not to cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample among the foot. He said, what do you think that means? And I said, well, you know, Brother Chuck, I never really thought much about it. I don't know. And here's where it got really bad. He said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. He said, I think it means y'all not witness to everyone, but just to those that God leads you to witness. And then, oh, Lord, I lost it. I mean, in volcano, I mean, I got red face. I said, well, that's never going to be true with me. I'm going to witness to everybody, stand still long enough for me to witness to them. And I mean to tell you, immediately my heart smote me. Brother Chuck, bless his heart, had enough grace about him, love of God about him. I mean, he didn't make no scene out of this. He just kind of walked off while I'm ranting and raving up there. And I'm as mad as a wet hen. He came up to me, Bonnie, he says, everything all right, brother? And I, of course, you know me, I'm madder, I don't know what else you got. I'm all right, Brother Chuck. And I'm sitting there just, I mean, man, this whooping it, beating on me like a drum. And I'm having the roughest go with this. There was wish they hadn't even come to me and asked me the question. I must have needed it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I had it up to here all the way through the whole work day. And I stopped by the church on the way home, and I went in there like a whip pup. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I said, I'm so sorry. I said, I know you already know about it, but I need to talk to you about it. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do here. I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to ask my good wife. Just soon as I come home, I'm going to ask her about this verse. And I said, whatever she says, I'm going to take it to be from you. And I drove home. I couldn't wait to get home, Karen. And there my good wife was fixing supper. And I said, Dottie, I said, if you don't mind, honey, I said, what do you think this verse means? Not cast your pearls for swine, lest they trample them underfoot. She said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. She said, I don't think you're a witness to everyone, but just for those that God leads you to witness to. I went back in the bedroom. I said, okay, I'll receive the instruction. I'm sorry. Went to Chuck, apologized to him. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, your zeal will get the best of you. I had zeal, didn't have knowledge. I didn't have the wisdom I needed at that moment. And Brother Chuck, bless his heart, got enough love of God abiding in him. He didn't say anything, just allowed me to simmer, you know, the rest of the day there. But Carolyn, thank you. That's what she did, is what I want. Herbert precipitate her participation.
Yeah.
That's what I want. Ask questions. Mention anything. You know, I really don't want to sit up here and bore y'all to death teaching you precept upon precept, line upon line. I'll do it. But Brother Habey said, hey, Rick preached up our preacher one time. I said, Brother Rick, what's this mean? He said, Brother Eddie, I'm preaching right now. I asked him after the service. Well, right now is a good time to ask you questions.
That's right.
It's not a good time when a man's preaching.
No.
But when we're teaching, that's what this is all about. I want to try to help you. I want to try to guide you. But I will be teaching precept upon precept, line upon line, until somebody does what Carolyn did back there. And I welcome that. I appreciate you bringing that to mind. It says, all things are plain to him that understandeth. You know, one day, everything just made sense. And kind of like the light came on. Before y'all got here, I was using the fire on this radio. I said, hey, the light came on. And, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. It's just like that.
Yeah.
And I'll be preaching along those lines maybe today a little bit. God didn't change the order of things here. But all things are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. And that is one thing we need to do. We need to seek and find knowledge. Verse 10, receive my instruction. Now Jesus, in John chapter 10, talked about him being the good shepherd. Talked about he loved the sheep. Talked about the sheep follow him. He calls them by name. They know his voice. But he also mentioned about a harlot. And the harlan, he don't care for the sheep. He just wants the preeminence. He wants the recognition. He wants the position, but really he doesn't need it. God talked about pastors. He said that, and y'all having pastor's appreciation today, and I do appreciate being able to be your pastor. I'm not much of one. I'm not going to make no boast about me being a pastor. I'll tell you this, do the best I can. I'm looking forward to a day I can do even better. But a pastor, God said, I'll give you pastors according to my heart.
Yes.
And one thing I did learn about pastoring, the very first church I ever pastored was up in Columbia, Kentucky. Rick Wheeler come to me, gave me a phone number, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, there's a church up in Columbia. He said, they're needing a pastor, and I really believe you'll at least call them. And I did. And I met with the deacon up there and ended up being their pastor for 4.5 years. But here's why I said all that. The very first time I stood behind the pulpit as their pastor, God revealed to me just how much he loved his children. I was amazed at that. I mean, he let me know how much he loved them. I was a street preacher. I mean, roughing the cob, and God was kind of holding me back. I haven't preached on hell since I've been here. The only reason I haven't is because God hadn't given me the leeway to do it. Don't tell me I won't, because if God tells me to, I will. Right. But as a pastor, one thing you don't want to do, you don't want to scatter the flock.
No.
As a pastor, you want to feed the flock of God. You want to nurture them. You want to love them. You want to keep them together. And you know, in love, provoking them. And a good pastor will lead by example, and a bad pastor will blame you. It's your fault. Ain't mine?
That's right.
You're the reason we're having all these problems. That's what a bad pastor does. A good pastor says, we got some things we need to pray about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'll say, I need your prayers. Mm-hmm. He'll say, I'm just human. He'll be honest. He'll be humble.
That's right.
He won't have no turkey feathers.
That's right.
And boy, we need pastor. My pastor, oh Lord. Whew. I remember one time Brother Rick's up there preaching. He's preaching like a wild man. Next thing I know, he's down on the altar weeping. Then he got up and gained his composure and finished that message. And I thought, what the heck just happened? Mm-hmm. But you know, a real pastor is honest with himself.
That's right.
Honest with God, what he was preaching that day fell back on him. I was only not explain what I saw. I did see it. I'm sitting there thinking, what am I supposed to do here? I mean, I really didn't know what to do. I mean, I seen him be broken hearted, hit the altar, spent quite a while whacking, sobbing before God, got up, cleaned his face off, got back up, finished that message. But a real pastor, he's real. And it's not superficial. He's not trying to put on any persona on how I got on all that. But anyway, let's get back here. God says, receive my instruction, and not silver, and not knowledge rather than choice gold. You see, some things are more precious than silver and gold.
That's right.
And God says wisdom. Look at verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know, even yesterday, I spent a while witnessing there in, what's that, Rule King? Is that new store?
Right.
I was witnessing in there. And as I walked out of there, for some reason or other, my mind was directed to find out how much a ruby was worth. I don't know why. But they used to pay for things with rubies. They used to pay for things. It was a means of currency. It was a very precious commodity. And a lot of people in the Bible are mentioned with rubies. Yeah. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs here, it talks about the wife, her price is far above rubies. So there you can see that there's a lot of value to rubies. Let's see if I can find that real quick here. I always tell people I'm still making payments on my wife. Well, come on, I know it's Proverbs 31. Can't be that hard to find. Here it is. Purchase woman. Verse 10 of Proverbs 31, somehow or another. I had it underlined. I must be blind this morning. Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? There it is.
Yeah.
But rubies was a precious means of currency, and a lot of things were paid for with rubies. And God here says that wisdom is better than rubies, right here in verse 11. Let's see here. It's got a cross reference, and even though I didn't look it up, I'm going to. It says, look at Job 28. Job 28, verse 15. Let's see what that says. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal candle, the gold cannot equal to it. The exchange of it shall not be for jewels or fine gold. No mention made of coral or pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. There it is again. I knew it would eventually get there. The Bible, it kind of fits together. But wisdom is better than rubies. Brother Ed mentioned about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And a lot of people don't have that wisdom. A lot of people, they don't regard God as anything but in their way.
Huh? That's right.
Now, I'm going to stop right here at this verse. But they don't mind breathing God's air. Take a deep breath. You see, we just took that for granted, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
They don't mind having enough gravity to keep them floating away. Not so much that they ain't stuck to the ground, they can't move. They don't mind having eyes to see, ears to hear, a tongue to taste with, something to eat, health to eat it. They don't take none of that, and they don't attribute that to God. And yet God gives us freely all those things.
They don't mind calling on Him when they need Him.
There you go, Brother Ed. Yeah, even an atheist.
Yeah.
If he was to drive his car off a cliff,
yeah, that's
right. The last words, "Oh my God!"
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the heart of man. God put it in there. That man knew.
Gonna go put that thing.
He had
a battery out there. It might need
more to do with God than he'll ever give God or anybody else credit for. It's in the heart. I mean, the biggest atheist ever. If he was to fall off a cliff. His last words would be, "Oh my God."
Yeah, there's people that's not saved.
Right.
But when there's something happens, they'll call on Christian people before they will even, you know, they'll
She's
call.
Right.
"Will you please remember me in prayer?"
Right.
You know,
see, when the circumstances are there,
right,
then the true character comes out. But other than that, they kind of got a mask over it, you know. And, They put on their persona. I don't need the Lord. Who needs the Lord? And you know, maybe somebody will get a lot of popularity, a lot of money or prestige or whatever. You let the right thing happen, like Sister Carolyn said, they'll call for the preacher.
Right.
Somebody go get the preacher.
Right.
Go get somebody to pray for me. Well, let's stop right there. Let me get this recorder off. But we were in Proverbs chapter 8, and we stopped, I believe, in verse 11. We'll pick up next Sunday.